We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
"20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the PACKADAY podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into this immediate reaction episode of the Packaday podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. Thanks so much for being here today. It's a little bit after round one took place. Obviously did the full live stream. So if you want to get my initial gut reactions, you can go back and listen to that. But wanted to take a couple seconds to let the pick digest a little bit, do just a little bit of research, and then sort of put my initial reaction to the pickup. So here we go. Let's jump in right away. I'll do a much deeper dive on tomorrow's show and start going over what options Green Bay had and what they could look forward to in day two and all those sort of things, but this is just going to be my quick initial scouting report and reaction to the Jordan Morgan selection. So obviously offensive lineman out of Arizona, very telling that they announced him as an offensive tackle. And if you know, you've sort of been paying attention to the process, what have we been saying all along? Green Bay values high-end players at premium positions, and offensive tackle is one of those premium positions. Jordan Morgan fits everything that they look for. It's why when we did the two-round mock draft the other day, Jordan Morgan was the pick. It's why number two on my 25 most likely Packer, or, you know, picks to be a Green Bay Packer, Jordan Morgan. It's why on my short list of players that either staying or if they traded back, Jordan Morgan. This is a player that screamed off the page whether you like him or you don't like him or anything in between. He screamed Green Bay Packer. 6'5", 311, 9.24 relative athletic score, although he did not do the agility testing, 92% athlete at the position at offensive tackle, again, despite not doing the agility testing. In my opinion, if you watch him on tape, the agility is great. I don't have any questions about the agility, like Cooper DeJean, for example. When he doesn't do the agility testing, there's legitimate questions as like, how would he have tested? Because there's a lot of straight line speed and not always the twitchiness from DeJean. And you wonder, like, did he not do it because he would have tested poorly? I don't have that same level of fear with Jordan Morgan. When I watch him on the tape, he's an extremely clean mover. He can change directions. I have zero concern over that whatsoever. Clearly, Green Bay felt the same way because the agility testing is one of the key indicators as to whether or not they usually take a guy anywhere along the offensive line, much less in the first round. So again, I would not have any concern about the lack of agility testing. The agility looks fantastic on tape. He's 22 years old. He turns 23 in August. Again, usually day of draft, they take 22 or younger, which he was 22 years old. It's tough to know, again, if he meets all of Green Bay's thresholds at the offensive line position without doing the agility testing. However, he hits everything else except one thing. This was the one thing I pointed out prior to the draft of, would Green Bay make a little bit of an exception here? He does not have 33-inch arms. That has been sort of the cutoff point for Green Bay when they've taken offensive tackles in the past. He is just underneath. They are 32-inch arms, 32 7/8. So 32 7/8-inch arm. So we're an eighth of an inch away. So he basically hits that too, if we're being realistic here. But other than that, again, we don't know the agility testing, so we can't complete that full profile. But assuming, like I said earlier, Green Bay felt good about the agility overall, which they should based on the tape. Again, outside of the 1/8 inch arms, hits everything along the offensive line that they look for. Also played at the Senior Bowl, something that Green Bay has had a propensity of drafting players from is the Senior Bowl. That's been a trend of theirs as well. And then the big word, versatility. I swear to you on everything, when I asked Brian Gutekunst what he was, you know, at offensive tackle, I said, you know, what about these big offensive tackles, the Tyler Guyton's and the Latham's and the Amarius Mims? And his initial response was, yeah, we like bigger, faster, stronger. And then he went on a little bit more in his answer, and he could have ended it there. I talked about this the other day, but he didn't. He went on to say, but we really value versatility, and we've had a lot of success drafting versatile offensive linemen in the past, and we plan on continuing to do that moving forward. When he said that, in my mind, I immediately went, that's Jordan Morgan. Like, that is Jordan Morgan. And I'm so mad that I didn't have him as my official prediction. I went with Guyton, but as I mentioned all along, this is a player that screams off as a potential Green Bay Packer. And clearly, Green Bay liked what they saw. This is a player that you would have expected them to like based on all the traits, all the testing. The tape we'll get into in just a moment, but on everything else, on what they look for, this is it. From a PFF standpoint, in 2019, he had 94 snaps with a 59.1 grade. In 2020, 147 snaps with a 47.4 grade. 2021, 706 snaps with a 53.1 grade. So those first 3 years, bit of a struggle, specifically that third year, right? Because the first two were basically just spot playing time here and there. In 2021, again, 706 snaps with a 53.1 grade. That was a bit of a struggle. Then comes back in 2022, 670 snaps with an 83.1 grade. Then had the torn ACL. Comes back in 2023 right away and plays 787 snaps and played better, 83.5 grade in 2023. Has 12 career penalties, four in 2023. PFF credited him with only 3 sacks over the past 2 years on over 900 pass blocking snaps. So 3 sacks in 900 pass block snaps. So 1 out of every 300 pass pro snaps in college in the last 2 years, Jordan Morgan gave up a pressure or a sack on, excuse me. He gave up 31 total pressures in those last 2 seasons, again on over 900 pass protection snaps. So again, still very good numbers there. And then had a 97.8% pass block efficiency in 2022 and 98.3% in 2023. Both very good numbers. 2-time team captain, including this past season. Coaches, according to a variety of scouts, and Dane Brugler, I know, mentioned this as well. Coaches spoke extremely highly of him. He was in the weight room constantly, was considered a leader on the team, obviously, which again translates to him being a 2-time captain. I know Brian Gutekunst spoke in his press conference about the ability to recover from that ACL, play through it. He thought like, hey, he's probably going to come back and struggle a little bit, you know, at the beginning of 2023, and per Goody did not. And again, you have to give him credit for being able to come back so quick and then just really play at a pretty high level right away, coming back from that torn ACL injury. He's been a starter at left tackle. And that's another thing that Green Bay looks for. It's not just necessarily the versatility, but they love those players that are playing the most premium position on the offensive line, which is usually considered left tackle. If you can play there, it means your offensive line put a lot of trust in you. I talked about Kool-Aid McKinstry when I broke down his film, and I said, one of the things that you have to recognize is that there is some rough tape from Kool-Aid McKinstry. One of the reasons there is that rough tape is because Alabama trusted him wholeheartedly. They put him on an island, they put him in man-to-man coverage, and they said, good luck. And they knew he was going to get beat sometimes, but they knew that a lot of times McKinstry was going to win one-on-one, and they gave him that assignment, and they trusted him, and he got the job done more often than not. So you have to grade with the understanding of they put him in poor positions, and more often than not, he still succeeded. So yes, there's going to be some bad stuff on tape. And there's a little bit of a similarity here with Jordan Morgan that they trusted him on an island at left tackle. They didn't help him a ton. Whoever he was going against, Leitu, Trice, it didn't matter. They put him on that island and they let him pass pro. And the fact that they trusted him and put him at that premium position, I think Green Bay valued that a ton as well. The other thing here is the Packers love these type of players. And they've had a huge track record over the years of taking these ultra-athletic tackles in college and then figuring out where they fit in the NFL. I think it is noteworthy that they have announced him as a tackle. Bill Belichick spoke extremely highly of him after the pick by Green Bay and said he's a really smart player, really liked him, and said he's a left tackle. He said he didn't think there's any question about that, that he is a left tackle. That's interesting because you do have Rashid Walker there. So how does that play out? Best five guys. I think that, you know, maybe Jordan Morgan plays left tackle long term. Maybe he plays right tackle. Maybe he eventually goes over there. Maybe this year you let Morgan sort of be the swing guy. We'll get to that more in just a moment. But as far as Bill Belichick was concerned, who knows a few things about football and the offensive line, he saw him as a left tackle and didn't think there was any question about that whatsoever. So whether he's the guard versatility and whether he eventually has to move in, we shall see. But Bill Belichick viewed him specifically as a tackle. Here was my scouting report. This is my scouting report, not influenced on anything else prior to the draft. And you can, again, this is my, you can go back and watch the live draft show, and I gave this right away. So this has not been altered in any way. This is my, scouting report of him prior to the draft. Clean mover in the run game, can get to his spots and works really well in his own scheme, which is what the Packers run, especially as a backside blocker. Also could be elite as a puller, and I think he will need to play guard in the NFL. That was just my opinion, again, breaking him down initially. Everything is a little bit broken. He's going to need to get reworked from the ground up. His hands need work. His placement is outside a ton, which can lead to more holding penalties. His head drops, that's something that he really needs to clean up. That's an easy fix, though. Like, that's something that you work on balance, you work on keeping everything forward and up and not, and again, down in your stance, playing with better leverage, but he will drop his head. And when you drop your head, you're susceptible to a variety of different moves and, you know, pulls, off balance, everything. His footwork needs a lot of work. He is a very clean mover. He has fast feet. So the traits are there for the footwork, but where he places his feet and his positioning needs a lot of cleaning up. And overall, it just needs a much better level of technique and work overall. He is susceptible to counters, bull rushes, speed rushes, and he really lacks any consistency in pass pro whatsoever. Now, again, from an efficiency standpoint, how many sacks he allowed, there's good numbers there. Mike Wall actually was talking about him and talked about how, you know, there's a little Mark Tauscher to him, and he's 100% correct. And what that means is Tauscher wasn't always the sexiest play in the position, but he got the job done. And it wasn't always the exact technique you wanted. It wasn't always the right footwork. But he found a way to just make sure that he was in between the, you know, defender and his quarterback. And there's a little bit of that with Jordan Morgan, where you watch it from a technical standpoint, you're like, there's a lot of work here. But then again, you sort of go back at the end of the tape and you're like, all right, like, he didn't allow a lot of sacks, not a lot of pressures. There's a lot of things you would have liked him to do better. But at the end of the day, you kind of say, like, job done. But I do think there's a lot of technical work there, again, that needs to be put in from Morgan. He is not a physical mover in the run game. He's more of a finesse player. He does show some upside there, meaning specifically on backside blocks. You will see him get a little bit more physical, a little bit more aggressive. Those are the easier ones to do. But I do see a little bit of that tenacity there from time to time. It shows up in spurts. But I do think, again, he's more of a finesse blocker at this time. And you want to see a little bit more of that nasty, a little bit more of that aggressiveness, specifically in the run game, be a little bit more of a mover. But again, he's in his own blocking scheme, and he's going to probably be a little bit more of that finesse offensive lineman. Traits-wise, there is a lot to like. And he easily looks the part. Maybe the move inside will benefit him enough. And that was the big thing here, is when you just turn on the tape and you look at Jordan Morgan, and it's funny, Mike Wall said the exact same thing too, of like, he's just a good looking player. He looks like, yeah, that he looks like an NFL offensive tackle. You just, you know, picture him and you're like, yeah, he's going to fit there easily. And when you watch him, like, there's this desire of like, oh, could he just put it together? Because when you see him like play well, it looks really good, but it's just so freaking inconsistent. And then, like I said, all the traits are there. He looks the part, and whether or not that move inside, whether he needs it, I do always like the fact that that's an option, meaning, hey, we can start him at tackle, left tackle, right tackle. If that doesn't work out, you still have outs. You still have options, and left guard, right guard would be some potential options as well. We know how much Goody values that versatility. And again, it was the big thing that he said when I asked him about those big offensive tackles. I said he's going to be a project, and I just worry that he's going to come in and struggle right away, and teams are going to struggle to get him in the right path, and he just ends up floundering as a backup offensive lineman for his career. This is a very noteworthy one that I think is a really important one to take away here, because team fit matters for Jordan Morgan a lot. And Green Bay is a very good team fit for him. Hey friends, are you ready for the Bucks playoffs? Are you ready for a little Dame time? Even if you're not, you're probably ready for the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, or any of your favorite baseball teams kicking off their 2024 campaign. With all of this amazing action going on, there's never been a better time to get in on the excitement of Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app where you can turn your sports knowledge into some serious cash. Right now, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball entries on Prize Picks. Friends, I can't even begin to explain to you how much I'm enjoying my Prize Picks experience. It's so easy to play, and their user-friendly interface and enormous, and I mean enormous, selection of players and stat types make it a beautifully unique experience every single time I log in. Last week, LeBron James came up huge for me, and this week I'm looking to keep the momentum going, relying on Luka Doncic and Connor McDavid. And guess what? Even if Doncic or McDavid get hurt, Prize Picks offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. So what are you waiting for? Now is the time to get in on the excitement with Prize Picks. So download that app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. If you're like me, you've been in numerous ticket situations that were just flat out frustrating. Recently, I had tickets to a Bucks game and I could not locate the tickets that were allegedly sent to me. It ended up in a huge hassle and led to me being completely frustrated by the entire experience. Ticket purchases should not be that difficult, and thankfully, they don't have to be. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I'm already eyeing up Bucks playoff tickets, and I know I'll be purchasing them through Game Time. My experience with Game Time has been simple, seamless, and completely without hassle. No more frustration, no more awful last-minute customer service phone calls, just easy access to great tickets. My favorite aspect of Game Time is their last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off by buying last-minute tickets, and save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the big game. And best of all, it's all covered with their low price guarantee. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Theoretically, he doesn't have to come in and play from day one. You have a starting lineup that is set right now, if you want it to be. Rashid Walker, Elgton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Sean Ryan, and Zach Tom. All five are ready to go and start if you need them to. If Jordan Morgan is not ready and he needs a little bit of time to clean up some of those things I just mentioned, you have the ability to give him a little bit of time, assuming you don't have any injuries right away. How much time he gets, that remains to be seen. But he could also compete with Rashid Walker at left tackle, compete with Sean Ryan at guard. And if Josh Myers is the weak link and you want to bench him, there's options there too, whether it's moving Zach Tom inside and putting Morgan at right tackle, or whether it's Elgton Jenkins inside and putting Morgan at left guard. So Green Bay is going to have some options there when it comes to versatility. And one of the things, like, regardless how you feel about the pick, you have to feel good from an offensive line standpoint when you have three guys in Elgton Jenkins, Jordan Morgan, and Zach Tom that have as much versatility that they do along the offensive line. That's going to give, you know, Adam Stenovich, Matt LaFleur, Luke Butkus a ton of flexibility with how they ultimately put that offensive line together. Where he projects in the NFL, far be it for me to argue with Bill Belichick. You could easily slot him in at that, you know, left tackle spot if that's where Belichick thinks he's best. I personally think guard is where he will ultimately end up, but you let him figure that out. You don't have to, declare he shall be a tackle, he shall be a guard. Let's see. Let's get him into training camp and mini camp and rookie mini camp and OTAs, and let's let his career play out a little bit before we say, you know, stick a fork in him as tackle, he can't play there. Let's give him every opportunity. But if it doesn't work out, well, maybe you work him in at guard and see if it works out there. But I don't think you have to make that decision. I know you don't have to make that decision right now, and there is going to be some opportunity for him to be flexible along that offensive line. As far as, like, Green Bay's options, could they have traded up? Could they have traded down? Yes, I would have liked to have seen Green Bay be a little bit more aggressive in trading up. I thought there were a lot of options, like even Byron Murphy falling, Fatanu falling a little bit, Terrion Arnold, Quinion Mitchell. I thought there were a lot of options for Green Bay to potentially move up, probably not have to give up a ton, and maybe secure a big-time player in this draft. Even still, it looked like there were going to be players that fall to Green Bay. It ends up not being the case. They have the opportunity to take Graham Barton or Cooper DeJean. They take Jordan Morgan over him. Brian Gutekunst was asked about moving up, and he said there were players that we thought about moving up for, and they recognized early that that was not going to be the case. So my opinion is they were not really in on Quinion Mitchell, Terrion Arnold. They were not in on, you know, Fatanu or some of those guys, because it sounds like the guys they were interested in trading up for were earlier in the draft, which is interesting because they were offensive players, right? I doubt it was the wide receiver. So was it one of the offensive linemen? Was it Latham? Was it Fashanu? Was it, you know, one of those guys that maybe makes a little bit more sense? But it's an interesting conversation point, but it clearly became apparent to Goot, what he said in his press conference, that they were either going to stay or move down. If they stayed, Graham Barton, Cooper DeJean still on the board, Tyler Guyton still on the board. Those have been other options. It is surprising to me that these two ultra versatile, Graham Barton and, you know, Jordan Morgan are on the board at the same time. And they went with Morgan over Barton. I think that's a pretty big upset. But here's the tell here too. They announced Jordan Morgan as a tackle. Tampa Bay, who select Graham Barton right after, announced Barton as a center. If Green Bay viewed Barton as a center, that was probably never going to be somebody they took in the first round. That's not what they do. And that's very likely the case that they viewed him at minimum as an interior offensive lineman only. And again, it is noteworthy that they announced Jordan Morgan at tackle. That doesn't mean that Graham Barton might not go on to have a way better career, or a Cooper DeJean. I know a lot of people wanted DeJean, but it's also noteworthy DeJean did not go round one. It's also noteworthy, like I said, that I didn't think DeJean was going to be the pick there. I had him on my short list, but if you look at scheme fit and things like that, it's not a perfect fit. I've talked about that all week. I said I thought there was a very good chance that DeJean would be on the board and they would not select him, and that's exactly what happened. I didn't know necessarily that they were going to take Jordan Morgan that early, but not super surprised by it either. Again, they had a lot of different options there. But transparently, yeah, there's a lot of other options that I think were potentially better options there, specifically with moving up a little bit to get a Quinion Mitchell, a Terrion Arnold, one of those guys that I think could have come in and just been a beautiful fit from day one. But that's not the way Goody saw it, and you have to sort of give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. Right now, the fit is going to be a rotational player. I think he's going to have the ability to be at worst the first guy up off the offensive line. He's going to play this season. There's no question about it. Whether he wins the left tackle job, whether he wins the right guard job, whether they shuffle around the offensive line and Zach Tom moves inside and he plays right tackle, or it just takes one injury and he's the first guy up, he will play this year and he'll probably play a lot. That would be my guess. So I know a lot of people are saying, oh, this is another project. And he might not project as a day one starter, meaning he might not be week one starting at one of those spots. And that's not the worst thing in the world, but I guarantee you he's going to play this season and probably play a lot, because there are going to be a lot of injuries along that offensive line. It happens every single year. And at worst, he's going to be first man up. And I'd still be willing to bet, even though, again, I have my trepidations on Jordan Morgan, I'd be willing to bet that he's better than Sean Ryan right away. And whether he's better than Rashid Walker will remain to be seen. And if he wins the left tackle spot and he's better than Rashid, there's not necessarily anything that's terrible about that either. That's a win for Green Bay. I think he will play this season. I think it will be at worst the first guy up off the bench. And I think there's a huge fit long-term here. It would not surprise me if the long-term play is for him to be first guy up right now. But by the time next year rolls around, Josh Myers walks in free agency, Zach Tom moves to center, and Jordan Morgan becomes your starter at right tackle from there. Or maybe you have the conversation of, do you want to put Morgan at left tackle and move Rashid to right tackle? Either way, they will absolutely have some options. And I do think he is a fit both short-term and long-term for this team. It just is, what sort of upside do you get from him now, and how high of that upside can he reach in the future? This is as good of a spot for Jordan Morgan to land in the NFL. Green Bay has a history of developing players exactly like this along the offensive line, and he doesn't necessarily have to come in and play right away. This is such a key, important piece for a developmental player like Morgan, who I do think isn't ready, set, go from day one, but has all of the traits, all of the tools, and Green Bay knows how to sort of mine these players and then develop them into something way better as time goes along. Be interesting to see what this means for Rashid Walker. Does Morgan get the real opportunity to start at left tackle? And then again, what happens to Walker from there? And another thing I'll just say here too is Goodin is known for taking these home run swings in the first round. Highly athletic players at premium positions that he thinks can become Pro Bowl players at their respective spots. He clearly sees Jordan Morgan as a potential high-end offensive tackle that could be a Pro Bowl caliber player there into the future. If it takes a couple of years to get there, he's willing to do that. And like I said, I do still think there's a role for him to play this upcoming season, but this is a bit of a home run swing for Goody. He's not afraid to take it. And then he attacks day two and day three of the draft with players that are usually able to come in and compete a little bit more right now. And I'm not saying that Morgan can't be that, but this is another home run left tackle swing that he feels like could be a big time long-term play for the Green Bay Packers. It's also worth noting that he was fantastic at Senior Bowl practices. Jim Nagy, the Senior Bowl director, shouted him out and said he went back and he watched all the one-on-ones and that Morgan didn't lose a single one. And that, this was a couple months ago in February, actually, said he should be a first round lock. Dane Brugler, for those that are thinking like this is a massive reach for Green Bay, I'll just be clear. I had him late day two on my board. Doesn't matter. Again, who cares? But Dane Brugler on his board had him 29th overall. He went 25th. So I know some people, and he was a second, Brugler's second guard behind only Fatanu. So I know a lot of people thought that like, hey, this is a huge reach, and maybe it is. It's, again, not what I probably would have done at that particular spot in the draft, but a lot of people had him a lot earlier. Like I said, Brugler at 29, that's only four spots off. I know Daniel Jeremiah, I think, was a little bit lower. I think he was in like the 60s for Daniel Jeremiah, but His range was all over the place, but there were a lot of people that were expecting Jordan Morgan to go at the end of round one. He goes at 25, not that much ahead of where I think he probably would have ended up, whether Green Bay took him or not. Could they have moved down and still got Morgan? Maybe, but it is important as a GM that you get the guy that you want. And if they, it is very, very clear that pick was in when they got on the clock. They didn't, and it sounds like Goody had opportunities to move down. He was very transparent about that, that they had options on the table. It sounds like Detroit called them to move down before they eventually got one pick ahead of Green Bay and took Terrion Arnold. But it sounds like he had plenty of options. He said no to those opportunities and he immediately took Morgan. I don't think if Terrion Arnold's on the board, I think they take Jordan Morgan. I think they were going to take him. I think they had him pretty high on their board based on how quick that pick came in and based on you know, sort of reading the tea leaves of what Goody had available from a trade standpoint. This was their guy. And if it is always important that if you have that guy on your board, you have the conviction to take him. You know, because if you move down five spots or four, three spots, whatever, and he gets taken two picks later, you're going to hate it and you're going to be frustrated by it. And you don't want to have somebody else drive that car off the lot when you've been eyeing it for so long. So again, could he have maybe moved down, pick up a fourth round pick? I think maybe he could have, but if he had the conviction to say, screw that, I'm not risking it, then that means he loves the player. And that's a good sign that he cared that much, that he wasn't willing to risk it. And he wanted him that much at pick 25. He struggled against Trice. I mentioned that, but he did really well against Leitu, who was the first defensive player taken in this draft. Go watch the UCLA tape. And he held up really, really well. But again, Braylon Trice from Washington gave him a ton of problems. By the way, I posted one clip. That was the one pick I had of Jordan Morgan. When I said no comments, I meant like I didn't need to put a bunch of comments in it. I didn't mean like, it doesn't matter. Either way, I do think he's going to need some coaching. Like I said, the traits are there. Here's my ultimate sort of breakdown here. Do I think there were better options? Yes. Do I trust Goody? Yes. Do I trust the Packers at developing this exact specific type of offensive line because they've done it forever? Yes. Are all of Jordan Morgan's issues on tape fixable issues? This is another really important one. Yes. There is nothing on tape that says that his issues cannot be fixable in the NFL. Well, how much time will it need? We'll see. Does he go to a place where they have all of the resources and coaches needed to fix those issues? Yeah, he does. And that, if you're willing to have some excitement outside of Bill Belichick being super pumped about the pick and loving the pick, that's another, I think, thing to be really excited about is, again, Green Bay's had a long history of drafting these type of players and developing them. And usually those guys are third, fourth, fifth round picks. They thought even more of Morgan in the first round as that type of developmental prospect. As I said, he will play in 2024. The goal is to have him be a legitimate big time starting caliber offensive lineman by next year, when you may want to move on from Josh Myers at that time. And then you'll probably have to do a little bit of reshuffling along the offensive line in 2025, but you want him ready to go being a legitimate starter in 2025. By the way, Dallas Turner in the division. Minnesota gets him with their second pick. There's going to be some really good pass rushers. Montez Sweat in Chicago, Dallas Turner and Grenard in Minnesota, Aiden Hutchinson in Detroit. You need these type of players on your roster. How high of a ceiling Morgan gets to, we'll have to wait and see. But there's reasons to understand this pick. There's reasons to be frustrated by it. As I've said all along, no matter where you are on the spectrum of loving or hating the pick, there are traits with all of these guys that are worth developing and worth loving, and there are weaknesses for every single one of them as well. Now it's up to the Packers and Jordan Morgan to mitigate those weaknesses that are there on tape, and it's up to the Packers to get the most out of all of those strengths that he is legitimately oozing with from a potential standpoint. All right, this is my probably a little bit longer than my gut reaction breakdown than I maybe wanted it to be, but a lot of good stuff to go over. Let me know how you feel about the pick. Would love to hear from you guys. I'll do a deeper breakdown tomorrow. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.